We are continuing our series on the Bible. We have completed multiple books of the Bible. We'll have the remote if possible. So we are currently going to meditate on the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the fifth book and the last book of the Torah, or the Pentateuch, the five books based on the biblical scholars that say that Moses must have written these five books. We are going to meditate now on this last book, which is Deuteronomy. And as part of this series, we took one portion from the Deuteronomy book itself. So let us read through it and try to ask God to speak to us through His living word as well. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. All together, please. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is a very familiar portion. More than we Christians, the Jewish people know this very well. They call it the Shema. Shema. It's there, right below it. Please join with me in reading the first two lines. There it says, Shema Israel, Adonai Elohim, Adonai Echad. Shema Israel means hear, O Israel. Adonai Elohim is the Lord, is our God, Lord our God. Adonai Echad means the Lord is one. And this they pray with their hands on their heads, on their foreheads, with their eyes closed, and say this very, very piously. They say these words to be able to remember that God is a God, the Yehovah God. They couldn't even pronounce the word Yehovah. They were afraid to mention the word Yehovah. For us, we just say Yehovah just like that. But they took it so seriously that it is such a divine name that even they couldn't utter with their lips. And so, wherever the word Yehovah is there, They wanted to have a different word that they would mean it, which is the Lord. The Hebrew word for Lord is Adonai. And that is how they ended up saying this prayer, Shema Israel, Adonai Elohim, Adonai Echad. Echad means one, ek. You know, in Hindi also, Urdu, we say ek. Echad means only one. He is one God. There are songs, English songs, so Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. Hallelujah. There's a song also that I get reminded of. Shema it's called, because that's the first word of that particular verse. Shema means hear or listen. Hear or listen. Our church promise starts with that word, Shema. Listen. Listen to me. Put your trust in the Lord your God and you will be established. Or hear. Hear. Hearing or listening is very important. And that is why we are sitting and spending some time in listening or hearing the word of God. We could have been somewhere else. But we chose, God has given us a desire to be hungry and thirsty to hear and listen to the word of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. May the Lord enable us to learn wonderful principles from the scriptures today, from the book of Deuteronomy. The word Deuteronomy is a Latin word which actually means deuteronomos. Means, nomos means the law, and deutero means second time. Second time, the law is mentioned or repeated in other languages, Dvitiya Upadesa Kandamu. Second time. Dvitiya means second time. And why second time? If you see the story of the scriptures that we have meditated upon, the people who came out of the land of Egypt were there in Sinai. And in Sinai, they got the law from the Lord. This particular picture, as just a reminder for us, to be able to know that they came from Egypt to Sinai, Egypt to Sinai. And there they had the word of God. But later, because of their rebellion, they spent 40 years wandering in the desert and a new generation came out. And that new generation is now, along with Moses, very close, opposite to Jericho on the other side, across the Jordan River. And so Moses took this opportunity to repeat the same thing, but in much clearer sense to this new generation that is going to enter into the promised land. He is repeating that to the new generation. The old generation, probably they were, you know, not probably, everyone about 20 years of age died because of the 40 years that they have spent. Finally, they all died. And a fresh generation came out. And Moses, towards the end of his life, the last, I don't know, maybe days or day of his life, he spoke these words. It could be on the same day. So that is where we'll pick it up, the story of Deuteronomy. Please have your Bibles open. It's wonderful to be able to meditate upon it. Maybe you have read this particular book of Deuteronomy, but it will be a good recap. Repetition. Repetition brings stress. When the word of God is repeated in multiple places, that means he's reminding us over and over again. Deuteronomy is a repetition of what was spoken earlier. It's a repetition of the law. Genesis, God chose a people. The book of Exodus, God redeemed those people. Book of Leviticus, God sanctified those people. The book of Numbers, God directed those people. In Deuteronomy, God reminded those people. God reminded those people. The people whom he has chosen, that he redeemed, whom he sanctified, he directed, and he's reminding. Reminder is important. You have a reminder app in your phones as well. You want to get reminded. Keep getting reminded. We have a memory problem, and we need to keep remembering. And that is why God has given his word, and he's repeated this in order to remind us. A lot of times when we see, oh, this one I have already read in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. Deuteronomy, it's just okay. I can just skim through it. Let me tell you, Deuteronomy is a wonderful book of the Bible. You know why? I'll tell you. Deuteronomy is one of the greatest books of the Old Testament. Its influence on the domestic and personal life of all ages has not been surpassed by any other book in the Bible. It is quoted over 80 times in the New Testament, and this, it belongs to a small group of four Old Testament books that are repeatedly mentioned in the New Testament, the book of Genesis, Psalms, and Isaiah, to which the early Christians made frequent references. If you are not still convinced to read this book of Deuteronomy in your personal life, maybe this might help you to focus your attention. Jesus referred a lot to the book of Deuteronomy. I'll share with you during the course of this book that we are going to look at. Jesus referred to the book of Deuteronomy quite a bit. So the book of Deuteronomy starts off with the first four chapters. The book of Deuteronomy starts off with the first four chapters. Please note it down. Retrospective. Again, I'm not trying to teach you English, but these are good words for us to be able to know. Do you know what retrospective means? Anyone? The word retrospective is looking back in retrospective of what happened. This is what it is. In retrospective of what has happened. Retrospective means to look back. To look in the past what has happened. Look backward. The first four chapters, Moses tries to give a story of what has happened and what God has done in the past. He reminds this people of Israel in the first four chapters. It says, you know, how they left from Horeb and how they moved to Kadesh Barnea. It actually takes just 11 days for them to travel from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea, verse 2. And then in the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, in verse 3. Now 40 years have occurred to the extent of being able to
40th year, first day, 11th month, almost completing 40 years. And this is where Moses starts speaking about what all happened. You can go read through this in your personal time. It's wonderful as a reminder. God reminded his people through the book of Deuteronomy. In verses 31 and 32, notice this carefully. I'm going to pick some verses. Please follow along with me. Deuteronomy 1, 31, 32. And in the wilderness, where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, just as a man carries his son in all the way which you have walked until you came to this place. In the wilderness, where you saw how the Lord your God carried you. I don't know if they ever thought that God was carrying them, but it was very clear Moses was telling that God, as a man carries his son, because they were the next generation, probably their fathers were carrying them when they were moving initially. But here the Bible says, God carried you. You might have heard of this particular story or a dream of a person. Some people have it in their walls as well. I had a dream. God was walking with me on the shore. The two footsteps, the two pairs of footsteps that were going on the shore. And we were wonderfully having conversation. There was a day when I was in trouble. I didn't know what to do. I was crying out to God. But when I was looking down at the seashore, I saw only one pair of footsteps and I was crying out to God, God, you left me? I'm in trouble. I'm going through this sickness. I'm going through this painful situation. I'm going through this distress in my life. And only one pair of footsteps are here. Have you left me, O God? And then the response of God was, those single pair of footsteps were my footsteps. I was carrying you. I never left you. I took care of you to tell you how much I care for you. I started carrying you just as a man carries his son. Throughout the wilderness experience, I have been carrying you. But we think, oh, why is God doing this? Why is God allowing this to happen in my life? Why there is no water? Why there is no this thing, that thing? The kind of complaints that these people were doing, they didn't realize that God was carrying them. God was carrying them. Chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, for the Lord your God has blessed you in all that you have done. He has known your wanderings through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you. You have not lagged a thing. You have not lagged a thing. And you say that you did not have this and that. I know when I should give you. But you were complaining, rebelling. I was carrying you. You had no lack of anything. Your feet did not swell, it says in some other portions in the book of Deuteronomy. Throughout these 40 years, your feet did not swell. Why? Probably because God was carrying them. Did you realize that? We think that we are walking in the wilderness. Oh God, my hand legs are aching. Just look at your feet. Nothing has happened. Why? Because God was carrying you. Oh my dear, hope you are getting encouraged during the situations that you are in, that He is carrying you. God is carrying you. In all these situations, he was explaining about his personal situation as well. His personal situation that he also, Moses, also rebelled against God along with his brother Aaron. He was so, he confessed so much so, he regretted for what he has done. When God told him to speak to the rock, he struck the rock twice. That's all he did, we might think. But in the sight of God, it was disobedience. And Moses realized it. And now he says, verse 23 of chapter 3, chapter 3, verse 23. I also pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord, you have begun to show your servant your greatness, your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as yours?
Verse 25. Let me, I pray, cross over and see the fair land that is beyond the Jordan, that good hill country and Lebanon. He was asking God, God, I know I disobeyed you, but let me, I pray, cross over beyond Jordan and see that fair land. When I was thinking about this prayer of Moses, I could realize that there are certain situations in our lives when we disobey the commandment of God, God would forgive us of it, but there could be consequences of the sin. We might need to bear the consequences. We might lose on certain blessings that we could have had we obeyed the commandment of God. Moses is an example for that. He pleaded with the Lord. He pleaded, verse 23. He cried out to the God. I prayed to the God, verse 25. Verse 26, notice this, you know. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, God did reply. God answered his prayer. You know what he said? Enough. Speak to me no more of this matter. Enough. Speak to me no more of this matter. Have you heard? Did you hear that? Does anyone like to hear an answer from God that way? A great man of God who brought the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt all the way till the border, almost there, so near, yet so far. God says, enough. Imagine you are praying and you had an answer of this sort. Enough. Speak to me no more of this matter. Don't talk to me anymore. Don't pray about this. Don't pray. Why are you praying? Enough. Man. Even God's answers can be like this. God answered him that way. A man of God who was denied of his prayer request. We cannot accept it. We search for verses. With especially digital technology, we search for verses and say, that is the verse God spoke to me with. We cannot accept negativeness, negative things from God. We always want positive things. Lord, till you give me positive answer, I keep on. Here in this particular case, speak of this no more. Enough. I thought, imagine if somebody spoke to you or God spoke to you that way, what would you say? Would you like to continue with this God? I would say yes, because God knows the best for you. When he says, enough, speak of this matter no more with me, we don't speak of that matter anymore, because God dealt with it. In the past, Moses pleaded with God. God, if there are only 10 people, or you know, Abraham also pleaded with God when Lot was there, and when God wanted to destroy these people in the wilderness, Moses cried out to God, God, what will those people think? Why didn't you bring them out? He pleaded with God. God heard him at that time. But in his personal case, he did not. But God gave him a different answer. He said, you are asking me to cross over and see, 25. To cross over and see the fair land. You know what I'll do? God said, I will let the second part be happening. Cross over and see. No, no crossover, only see. Sometimes God's answers are limited. What did you want to do? You want to just cross over and see. That's all right. You won't cross over, but you will see. I'll give you wonderful eyesight. You will have such an eyesight that you will see. He did not have any problems with his eyesight. God answered him in that manner. And he said, don't pray anything anymore about this matter. I'll take care of this. God, okay, God, done with. Something that I was able to understand here, that God was one who answers our prayers and answers in a manner that is in accordance to His will. We are not here to twist the arm of God and say, God, will you do it or not? Will you do it or not? Sometimes we are such kind of people. But we have to hear from God as well. God, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to continue to pray about this? Is there something else you are going to do with me in this situation that I'm going through, etc., etc.? Okay, so let's move on. Chapter 4 also talks about how these people were given the Ten Commandments. In verse 13, it talks about it, chapter 4 in verse 13. And it also reminds us in verse 23 that we have a God to whom he clearly said in verse 24 that the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. In verse 31, the Lord your God is a compassionate God. He's a consuming fire in verse 24. He's a compassionate God in verse 31. And then in verse 35, it says, He is God, there is no other besides Him. Moses is reminding, the Lord your God is one. Ekhad. Don't go after other gods. There is no other God besides the Jehovah God. Something to be able to know. And that is how we move on. Verse 39 also tells that He is God. There is no other besides Him. And then now we'll go on to chapter 5. Chapter 5 talks about the Ten Commandments repeated. And from chapter 5 onwards, I want us to note down in your sermon notes. First four chapters is retrospective. Now, note it down, introspective. Again, another English word. Probably you don't hear these words very often, but these are good words for us to really understand the book of Deuteronomy. Retrospective is looking back. Introspective is looking inside. Look at your own heart. What are you doing? This all has happened. This all has happened in the past during the wilderness time. I want you to be introspective. There are a lot of chapters that are dedicated to introspective. Take your time. I have gone through it word by word in terms of reading through it and meditating and understanding that. You too, please take some time and go over it. Introspective. God is reminding. So again, here, the way in which these are divided into four sections is based on how Moses was speaking. It's like a sermon of Moses with a break in between. And another, he once again opens his mouth and then speaks. Chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, across the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses undertook to expound this law, saying, that means he started off his sermon. First chapter, fifth verse. All the way till Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 49, till the end, almost. And then in chapter 5, verse 1, Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, again, his discourse, second discourse or second sermon of Moses. Was there a gap in between? Did they have a break? Did they have any restroom breaks or anything? I don't know. Was it on the same day? Possibly. But chapter 5 begins with Moses speaking to them once again. He took a break. In chapter 5 to chapter 26, he gives a long sermon. He gives an introspective sermon. Retrospective sermon, the first four chapters. Introspective sermon, chapter 5 to 26. Look inward. What God expects of you. What is God expecting of you? As I'm sharing with you the law that God gave at Mount Sinai, I want you to be able to see how He's renewing it. He's explaining it from chapters 5 to 26. All the way, He talks about, you know, all the commandments that I have given you, the 10 commandments that I have given you. Just introspect. Look inward. Are you following the commandments of the Lord? Are you following others more than God Himself? Are you creating any graven images to the extent of focusing on that more than anything else? And all the 10 commandments that are mentioned here. And then in chapter 6, he gives a very important element of the focus that we just read through as a key verse for this book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6 and verse 4 and 5. And continuously, this actually 4 to 9 is the Shema.
The first line of Shema is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. If you know any of your Jewish friends, they all should know it by heart because they pray that prayer. We as believers in Lord Jesus Christ, we kind of don't take things easy. I mean, if we are too tired, we just sleep off. We don't even pray. We are so lenient towards God to the extent of don't care about God. So we have to be careful enough to be able to give utmost importance to our God. Here, when you wake up in the morning, in the evening, in every situation, to be able to remember God. Jesus referred to this particular verse. Did you know that? Jesus referred to Shema. Please join with me in reading Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 30. As it is projected, join with me in reading Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 30. All together, please. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, What commandment is the foremost of all? Jesus answered, The foremost is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. He was referring to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. He referred to the Shema. The word Shema means hear or listen. As a local church, I think Shema is very important for us to be able to focus upon, because that is our church promise as well. Listen to me, put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Listen or hear Shema. God wants us to hear His word. Let us spend time in hearing His word. While you read His word, read it aloud so that you can hear. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Hear it. Hear more and more. Because that is what fills your heart with your soul, with your spirit, in order to face the situations in your life. Chapter 6 has more verses related, that are referred to the New Testament. We will look at it. He gave some warnings in chapter 7. He gave some promises as well. Verse 12, the promises primarily that the book of Deuteronomy talks about are conditional promises. If you do this, then I will do this. Then I will bless you. And the first and foremost thing that you need to do is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Do you love Him? Do you love the Lord? It's a question to answer. If we are not people who love the Lord, I don't think we can expect anything from the Lord as well. The way you love the Lord is to give Him the highest priority. The foremost commandment of all was the scribe's question. Scribe is the one who makes copies. He was making copies, and suddenly he saw the commandments, so many commandments. So he comes and asks Jesus, what is the foremost commandment? And Jesus refers to the Shema. Love the Lord your God. I think that is very essential, especially in this month of February. While the love is in the air, Valentine's everywhere. Whom do you love? Whom do you love the most? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Lord, I love you with all my heart. Can you say that? You say that, oh God, I'm saved. God has saved me. I'm a Christian. Show yourself as a Christian by loving the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jesus said that. How do I love the Lord? If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. That's what Jesus said. You show forth your love to God when you obey the commandments of the Lord. So the first commandment to obey is to love the Lord.
If you love the Lord, you will not love the things that God doesn't like. Very important. Chapter 8 also refers to some of the verses in terms of the way in which God was graciously dealing with them. So chapter 6 to 8, I think Jesus read it very carefully. You know why? Jesus read through this very carefully because he told the foremost commandment to the scribe. And I'll refer to you another scriptural portion. Why did Jesus went through this book of Deuteronomy so well? Join with me in reading Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 is the temptations of Jesus Christ. Through this sermon that was preached in the year 1988, God opened my heart to receive him as my personal Savior and Lord. In one of the gospel campaigns, when Ravi Zacharias was preaching, he was focusing more on the gospel. On January 16th, 1988, through this particular sermon on the temptations of Jesus Christ, having heard the gospel multiple times in Sunday schools and other places, the Lord enabled me to take that step forward to say, Lord, thank you for opening my heart. I receive you as my personal Savior and Lord. So this is a very dear chapter for me, the temptations of Jesus Christ. And in this temptations of Jesus Christ, Jesus referred to the scriptures when he was tempted by Satan. Three times. When Satan said, make these stones into bread, Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 8:6. Jesus referred to it. And then, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Deuteronomy 6:16. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Deuteronomy 6:13.
How Jesus was fully equipped with the word of God, and especially the book of Deuteronomy. If you are going through temptations in your life, read the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus was well equipped with the book of Deuteronomy to the extent of quoting from the book of Deuteronomy when he was tempted by Satan. We all go through temptations in our lives. Do we succumb to the temptation and say, Lord, sorry? Yielding to the temptation, again saying sorry. Have we been leading defeated lives in our personal lives? Or are we able to quote the word of God during temptations? We can quote the word of God during temptations if we are filled with the word of God. Jesus was able to be able to face Satan. The moment he was baptized, he was taken into the wilderness. He fasted there. And he was tempted there. Wilderness experiences, my dear. Maybe you're going through some wilderness experience. Maybe you're going through some dryness in your life. Read the book of Deuteronomy carefully. Remember Jesus. Jesus read it carefully. Jesus quoted it also, not just reading it. He quoted it. Let's move on. Chapter 9, chapter 10 talks about the tablets, how God provided those tablets, and so essentially, Moses was reminding them that 40 days and 40 nights I spent in the presence of God, and I was able to get these tablets. Probably Jesus also, when he was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, he went through it as well. Chapter 11 talks about the rewards of obedience. Read through it, okay, verse by verse. It's very important. I'm just giving you a high-level picture of this particular chapters from 5 to 26. But he talks about obedience, obedience, obedience. Anything else, if you may see here, is obedience. Obedience results in blessing. Disobedience results in curses. That is what it is. Deuteronomy talks about it. And the first and foremost obedience is to love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And then he repeats the laws of the sanctuary in chapters 12 and 13, 14 and 15. The law that is mentioned in the book of Leviticus he says, okay, go through all of this. Know the various feasts that you're going to go through. Introspect why I'm giving you all of these laws. Why should you bring these burnt offerings? Why should you bring these peace offerings? Why? Introspect yourself, right? That is what we are saying. Look inward. Look inward. What God is expecting of you with the law that he has given you. God wants you to obey his law. And that is what he talks about, the social justice as well, how you need to be able to handle the social justice, how do you treat people as well. As much as you love the Lord, you should love the people as well. That is what we keep seeing here. In chapter 18 as well, we notice that Moses talks about one important verse here. I want you to look with me, Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15. I think I'm projecting it. Please join with me in reading these verses. First Deuteronomy, then Book of Acts. Let's read this. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. Shema. Acts chapter 3, verses 20 to 23. Peter talks about it. Let's read this. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Notice this, verse 22 altogether, please. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Shema. Shema. Listen. Listen to the word of God. If you do not listen to him, you will be utterly destroyed. Who is this? Who is that prophet with a capital P? None other than Jesus Christ. So when Jesus might have been reading through it, he was being able to say, oh, this is fulfilled in me. And Peter also recognizes that this prophet that Moses was talking about is none other than Jesus Christ. The Jewish people could not have their eyes open to see that, but a person who is an uneducated person like Peter, God opened his eyes to see that that prophet that Moses is talking about is none other than Jesus Christ. Are you listening to him? Are you hearing him? Is Shema happening in your life? Hearing the word of God? And then we move on. Chapter 19 talks about the cities of refuge. I think we spoke about it in Book of Numbers as well. The six cities of refuge, that if something happens by accident and somebody dies, you can go to the city of refuge and you will be protected. But if you do it deliberately, even if you go to the city of refuge, you will not be protected. That is what talks about the city of refuge. They can go to the city of refuge. There are six cities of refuge that are being talked about. And Jesus refers to the book of Deuteronomy in the Sermon on the Mount as well. The Ten Commandments that are there, they are mentioned in the book of Exodus also. I'm not denying it. But Deuteronomy is such a dear book to our dear Jesus Christ that on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you have heard, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder. But I say to you, remember those words of Jesus Christ? They're all referring to the book of Deuteronomy in one way or the other. To the extent, in chapter 19, verse 21, you shall not show pity, life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. That is the right justice. If somebody breaks your leg, you break that person's leg. That is equal justice. But Jesus Christ has come into this world to be able to tell if somebody hits on one side of your cheek, show the other side. Not to be able to show forth, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. He was referring to the book of Deuteronomy to the extent of being able to show forth that he is a God who is trying to explain. As much as Moses was explaining this, Jesus tried to explain this Old Testament much more. And that is how we see in chapter 20, laws of warfare, as to how these people have to have to be able to handle situations when there is a war, how they have to approach the enemies. You know, later on in the book of Kings, they will be able to really refer to it as to how to be able to reach that. And if somebody is married as a soldier, what should they do? If they bought a house, what should they do? Do they have to go to the war or stay back? All that thing is mentioned in the chapter 20. But right now, in our spiritual life, we are all in spiritual warfare. Every day is a spiritual warfare for us. And we can see that in chapter 20. Chapter 21, 22, 23, and everything else after that till 26 talks about those laws that were mentioned in the book of Leviticus being repeated. And while he was repeating it, he was telling introspect. Introspect as to what is happening in your lives. Let's move on. Let's move on to chapter 27. Chapter 27. In chapter 27 to chapter 30, another section. How do I know that? How do we know that? Chapter 27 and verse 1. Then Moses and the elders of Israel charged the people, saying, now again another sermon. The long sermon was done. The introspective sermon was done. Now note it down, the third aspect, prospective sermon. Retrospective, look backward. Introspective, look inward, what God expects. Prospective, look forward, what God will do. It's very important. You look back, you look inward, you look forward. Do you see that? Chapter 27 to 30, it talks about look forward, what God will do now. Now that all the things have happened, 40 years of wilderness wandering has happened, and the law, I told you, I repeated the law from chapter 5 to 26 chapter. You keep introspecting, examine yourself, look inward, what God is expecting of you. And while you are introspecting, have a prospective. What is prospective? What does prospect means? Forward, prospective. This, I have this prospective of going forward with my life. Chapter 27 onwards. It says, verse 2, so it shall be on the day when you cross the Jordan to the land which the Lord gives you, you shall set up for yourself large stones and coat them. What you have to do now? Look forward. All this has happened, no doubt about it. Book of Deuteronomy talks about looking forward as well. Look forward, my dear. Yes, there are things that you have to look back. You have to look inward, but that is not sufficient. Not only the past, not only the present, future as well. Look forward in your life. That is what a Christian life is. What God has done for me in my life, what presently I am going through in my life, introspective, to examine myself, to correct myself and say, Lord, you have given me your word, but I have not been obeying your word. Help me. And now, how I should move on, what God will do in my life. And then he says that there are two mountains, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, that they have to go. There are the mountains in the promised land. God already started telling these people what they should do once they cross the Jordan River. And Mount Ebal is a place where it talks about curses. Mount Gerizim, where he talks about blessings. And the only difference between both of these is if you obey the Lord, blessings. If you do not obey the Lord, curses. And that is what we see here, the mention of the word Amen. Why do we use the word Amen? If you read Deuteronomy chapter 27, repeatedly after every verse, in verse 15 onwards, people shall answer and say Amen. Amen means, I'll take it. It's true. I accept it. Amen. Amen. Repeatedly, every verse in chapter 27, 15, 16, 17 onward, talks about if you are going to do these, that means you are disobeying and you will not experience blessings. Amen. Okay, I take it. This is what is going to happen. Look forward, what God will do. And then 28 talks about if you obey, this is what the blessings that you will experience. Chapter 28 is a chapter of blessings. Lot of people refer to this chapter in terms of promises. You got a promise? I got a promise from Deuteronomy chapter 28. And the other day I was hearing one of our brothers was telling, whenever I was asking people, their promises are all Deuteronomy, brother. Deuteronomy. Maybe your promise is also Deuteronomy. Take a look at it. Why Deuteronomy? Talking about blessings. Yes, God wants to bless his people, but they're all, let me tell you, those promises are all conditional promises. If you obey the Lord, you will experience the blessings. The blessings, blessings of the land, blessings of the family, blessings of everything that they're going to have, they will have to be able to see here in verse 9 of chapter 28, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. Establishing. That is also a church promise. Listen to me. Put your trust in the Lord your God. You shall be established. When will you be established? Shema and obey. Hear and obey God and his word. If you do not obey his word, first you should hear his word and then you should obey his word. Trust and obey. And that is what is essential. And we can stand on these promises of God and say, Lord, I thank you for your promises, but I will do my part in obeying your word. And that is what it talks in chapters 27 and 28. And then in chapter 29, this is where I want us to read verse 1. I will read it. Listen to this carefully. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the sons of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he had made with them at Horeb or Sinai. Horeb and Sinai are the same mountains. So at Sinai, God gave a covenant. It's called Sinai covenant or Mosaic covenant. And that covenant was renewed at that place when Moses was giving his last sermons. He gave this covenant as a renewal of the covenant that was given at Mount Sinai. That is why if you see today's sermon, it's titled Deuteronomy Covenant Renewed. God gave that covenant. When he repeated this law that was given, he's actually renewing it. When there's a repetition, there is a renewal as well. That is what he says. This the Lord has commanded to make with the sons of Israel, the covenant which the Lord is making, he's now making with the next generation who are entering into the promised land. And we will see that covenant that is mentioned as to how they should keep up the covenant of God. And when you enter into this covenant is with everyone. Verse 11, your little ones, your wives, your aliens, everyone who's going to be in your camps, this covenant. Verse 12, that you may enter into the covenant with the Lord and into his oath, which the Lord your God is making with you today. Verse 13, in order that he may establish you today. Verse 13, this covenant that God is renewing, verse 13, listen to this carefully, in order that he may establish you today. Again, the church promise. I don't know why God is reminding me constantly of that church promise, because it is very much linked to the book of Deuteronomy. Shema, establish, trusting in the Lord who is going to establish me. And that is what here, in verse 13 of Deuteronomy chapter 29, that he may establish you, that he may establish you. Right now, you may be on the other side of the Jordan River, still waiting on the promises of God. Lord, when am I going to cross the Jordan River? When am I going to be established, you might say. God is preparing you into the promised land to be able to experience God's blessings. Promised land is the blessings of God, conditional blessings of God. If you obey my commandment, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, physically, mentally, spiritually, love the Lord. You love the Lord by giving him the priority, foremost thing. Anything happens in my life, I will not give up my first allegiance to God. That should be your way of dealing with things, be it in terms of your personal lives, your family life, your church life, your career life, whatever be it. Give first importance to God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Definitely God will take care of the other things. But if you focus on the other things, for the sake of other things, if you are seeking the Lord, that is incorrect.
God will take care of your family situation. God will take care of your job situation. God will take care of your health situation. God will take care of other things if you seek Him first, if you love Him. You love Him by showing forth your importance to Him. First thing you wake up in the morning, you give Him the priority. When you go to sleep, you give Him the priority. When you are in distress, you first pray to God before you talk to people. You give importance to His word. You obey His word. That is how you and I will love the Lord. Finally, after all this, he says in chapter 30, wonderful thing that he exposes to these people. And he says, wonderful verse. I want us to read it, chapter 30. Chapter 30, please join with me in reading verse 19. I call the heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. A lot of people refer to this from a pro-life perspective. No doubt about it. We need to be able to choose life and not death. No doubt about it. In all these situations, you and I need to choose life in terms of eternal life as well. Eternal life. Choose life. I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. Choose life. We are people who should be choosing the life and not death. If you believe in Him, you will not perish but have eternal life. Finally, the last point, and we'll close. Perspective. Perspective. Look homeward. Lord, when am I going to reach my home? What is my home? Where is your home? Are you looking from earth perspective or heaven perspective? Perspective. You see that? I just use the word perspective right there. What is your perspective? Look homeward. What God is. Read chapter 31 to 34 and you will know who this God is. In all this, there's a song of Moses that is mentioned in chapter 32. Big song, very big song. It's a huge, longer than a hymn, Song of Moses. He talks about everything about God and to be able to have a good perspective towards God. And he also wrote another psalm. Did you know that? Psalm chapter 90 is a song of Moses. One of the psalms was written by Moses. I don't know, probably towards the end of his life, he must have written it. And we see here, finally, in chapter 34, Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo. I've put a picture here in terms of Mount Nebo. I don't know how many of us visited Israel or for that matter the Jordan, because this is on the Jordan side, the other side of Jordan River. If you go stand there, they put a small stone thing. I think my mom and my dad went there. They have taken a picture too. I remember seeing that picture. When you stand right there, different directions, you will see different places. On the left side, towards the Dead Sea, and the Bethlehem side, Jericho side, Jerusalem side, all of them can be seen from Mount Nebo. God took Moses to Mount Nebo, made him stand there on Mount Nebo. And chapter 34, it says, the Lord said to him, "This is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to your descendants." That's what I told them. "I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there." And that's what we see here, that Moses happened to see, and then the moment he sees, he was buried in the valley. No one knows his burial place to this day. Book of Jude. There was a fight to find the body of Moses. Read the book of Jude, you will see that. Because God made sure that it is hidden, because he's going to use that particular body of Moses to come back on the Mount of Transfiguration at a later point of time. Moses did have an opportunity to come into the promised land during the time of Jesus Christ. Though Moses was denied to enter into the promised land, he was given a wonderful opportunity to be along with Elijah and Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. Verse 7 says, although Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eye was not dim, nor his vigor abated. He kept on going on mountains. He was a mountaineering person. Multiple times Mount Sinai, and one last time Mount Nebo. His eyes were crystal clear. God can give you the sight. More than the physical sight, he can give you the spiritual sight. What humans' eyes cannot see, he will give you such a kind of sight. And he is able to give you the physical sight also, let me tell you. If God could give you such a sight to Moses, can't he give it to you? Obey the word of God. Live according to the word of God. Be a man and woman of God. God in his time, he will make all things beautiful. When I was thinking about this character of Moses, we are ending the character of Moses. But let me tell you, he's a wonderful character. He was not a perfect man. He was just an ordinary man. God used him mightily. He had his weaknesses. He was a stammering person, but at the same time, he was very angry person sometimes. But God had to humble him to the extent of saying there is no one humbler than him. He pleaded with God, God, help me to cross. God answered his prayer finally. What the law could not do for Moses to cross the Jordan River to enter into the promised land, what law did not allow him, grace allowed him. Law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same Moses. The law did not allow him because he was disobedient. But when Jesus came, his grace enabled Moses to see the promised land. I tell you, that is the grace of Lord Jesus Christ. It's very difficult to obey the law to its T. But with his help, you and I can obey the commandments of the law. Finally, one last verse and we'll close for today. A reference to Jesus Christ again in Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Verses 22 and 23. Together, let us read this, please. Deuteronomy 21, 22 to 23. And if a man has committed a crime punished by death and he is put to death, you hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him the same day, for a hanged man is cursed by God. You shall not defile your land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. Giving you. You see that? Deuteronomy talks about what they have to do when they go to the promised land. Our apostle Paul refers to Galatians chapter 3 verses 13 and 14. Let's read this together, please. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Whenever we read the New Testament, let me tell you, there's so much of reference to the Old Testament. You can understand the New Testament only if you can refer to the Old Testament. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. He was hung on a tree, a cross that was made out of wood or a tree, it says. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus took the curse so that you may get a blessing. Did you know that? Did you know that? We are all bound to be hung on a tree because of the sin that we are in and sin that we have committed. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now we are redeemed from the curse of the law. Did you see that? Now we can experience the blessings of God. The spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus can come only through Jesus Christ and his redemptive work. He took that curse so that you and I can get the blessing. May the Lord bless this word and enable us to focus our attention on the scriptures, even the Old Testament. I hope this has triggered you to go back and read the book of Deuteronomy. You can finish it in a few hours, let me tell you. I have read it. Maybe you're very busy. Still, you can spend some time during this week and complete the book of Deuteronomy if you haven't read it, because Jesus read it. What more reason can you have other than to be able to say that Christ referred to this Old Testament scriptures and he became a curse for us? He redeemed us from the curse by hanging himself on the cross. He died for us on the cross. That is the reminder of this table that is set before us. That reminds of his sacrifice and the redemptive work on the cross of Calvary. May the Lord bless this word.